From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made on a rock in a field in the southwest of Dublin, Ireland. That's where a young boy sat and dreamed. He would become a singer, he thought, and an athlete, and a doctor. And you could say the odds were against this young boy, who doctors had said would never walk. But he did, and he became all of the things he dreamed he would become. That young boy was Ronan Tynan, the acclaimed Irish tenor, who also became a Paralympian and a physician. He learned to walk at the age of 4 using steel braces and concrete shoes. 16 years later, his legs were amputated from the knees down after a car accident. But just 1 year after that, he was winning medals as a runner. He attended medical school, becoming the first person with a disability to be admitted into the National College of Physical Education in Limerick, and later attending Trinity College to become a specialist in orthopedic sport injuries. While in medical school, he was a contestant on what is essentially the Irish version of American Idol, and he stunned both friends and viewers with his talent as a singer. You may know him from his work with the Irish Tenors, or for his renditions of God Bless America at Major League Baseball games, or from this.
Would any boy, the pipes are calling, from glen to glen and down the mountainside.
That's the version of Danny Boy that he sang for 9/11 first responders. According to Ronan Tynan, failure is not a word in his dictionary. He has shared his life story and his message of perseverance throughout the world, and next month he's going to share it in Rochester as a guest of two events hosted by Catholic Charities Community Services. You can attend those events to hear Tynan speak and sing. But first, you can hear him this hour on Connections, joining us by phone from Ireland. Ronan Tynan, an honor to have you on the program. How are you, sir? Somewhere there. We'll hold on for a second. There you are, Ronan. I'm sorry. We had a bad connection. Blame the host. But you're there. How are you, sir?
Very good, thanks. Just, it's a very chilled, cold, miserable evening in Ireland. But that's okay. I mean, it's winter.
I thought you were going to say it's Ireland. But either way, it's great to have
you. Well, you know, Ireland has changed a lot in terms of our climate. I mean, normally we would have snow, and but we have a lot of wet weather, and it's cold. It's cold.
Well, I know a lot of folks are looking forward to hearing your voice in person. Lori Van Auken is here, Executive Director of Catholic Charities Community Services. Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having us. Hi, Ronan.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. Can't wait to have you here.
Well, let's...
I'm looking forward. You know, I really am looking forward to it. Plus, Rochester has a super music school
yes.
up there.
Yes, and you'll be singing from that stage.
Yeah, we'll get to that event information in just a moment because listeners can attend if they
sure.
like. Kathy Termine is here, who is a Director of Developmental Disabilities at Catholic Charities Community Services. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
Royce Rogers is here, the brother of Alice Rogers, one of the first residents of Catholic Charities Community Service. He's going to accept the Heart and Soul Award on behalf of the family. Welcome, Royce. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. I've read Ronan's book, and I'm thrilled to have the chance to see him in person.
Oh, as we all are. And Norm.
Hey, Roy, how are you?
I'm great, thank you.
And Norm Silverstein's our president and CEO of WXXI Public Broadcasting, and Norm's going to be accepting the Community Champion Award on behalf of WXXI and the Golisano Foundation for the Move to Include partnership.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know, boss. That's pretty cool stuff. I mean, you do a lot of these things throughout the year. This has got to be high on the list.
Oh, yeah. We're really thrilled to be receiving this award with our friends at the Golisano Foundation. And we're greatly impressed that you're going to be with us, Ronan. So can't wait to meet you in person.
Yeah.
Seeing you on TV, of course.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I mean, I know Tom Golisano very well. And for a long time, I used to sing for the Sabres up in Buffalo. And but I also Rochester. I'm very fond of Rochester because many years ago I wrote a song for the Special Olympics, and it was a group of kids from Rochester that actually sung it first in the Waldorf Astoria.
Wow. I mean, is there anything, that Laurie, that he hasn't done? So before we kind of dive more into Ronan's remarkable story, there are two events coming up here. There's an evening and a breakfast. Why don't you tell us about
what's
coming up?
Great. Thank you. So in celebration of serving the community for 40 years, Catholic Charities Community Services wanted to do a doubleheader fundraiser, starting with a wonderful evening of music and dance. And, of course, our major guest speaker will be Ronan, or guest singer, sorry, will be Ronan Tynan. that will be March 12th, Thursday at Hochstein at 7 p.m. Tickets are available online. And on Friday the 13th in the morning, we are so thrilled to be honoring the Move to Include Initiative, XXI, the Golisano Foundation, and, of course, Royce and his family. And we are thrilled Ronan will be speaking at breakfast starting at 8 a.m. at the convention center, and he will be our featured speaker.
How can people attend these events if they want to?
Sure. So they can go right online, cccsrochester.org. is our website, and tickets are available right online. But come join us for our 40th anniversary and celebrate people of all abilities.
It's Thursday, March 12th in the evening, Friday, March 13th in the morning for those two events. And Ronan, as we got ready for this program, I watched a number of interviews with you. I know PBS has covered you over the years, ABC News, and I think I was like a lot of people who the ABC News journalist you sat down with described, which is that I knew you as an Irish tenor. I knew you as the guy with the massive voice at Yankees games. I did not know about the Paralympian aspect of your of who you are. I didn't know about your legs, to put it bluntly. That's what the ABC journalist said. Most people don't know about your legs. Is that still the truth, you think, for most of your fans?
No, I think many people now are fully aware
Yeah.
of who I am. You know, I think the mystery, that mystery is opened widely. And I mean, you know, the thing is, I've always believed that, and my belief really starts from my parents. I mean, I grew up in a very much a strong moral compass family, and who you know, turned every single stone to make my life what it is today. I mean, I often say to people, there are a few adjectives I could use to describe the strength of my mother. And my father was a man, he was a dreamer, but he was an amazing dreamer. I mean, he was only 5'4", but he's a giant. And also, I think in the family setting, particularly in Ireland, you know, religion was very big. It was not forced down us by any manner of means, but, you know, we were brought up with a very good Catholic upbringing with a good moral compass. And it stood to us. And it has always stood to me. And when things get rough, I always run through the intercession of somebody else to sort it.
Well, in let's turn back to Ronan in just a second here. I want to adjust one thing with his phone. And as we do that, there's something that he said, Kathy, that struck me. And I wonder if you feel the same when we think about our expectations for one another, when we think about what disability means, and especially when we think about kids. Ronan has said, who gives up first? It's often, if there is a situation where a child, or the perception is a child has given up because of a disability, Ronan says it's often the parents who've given up first, that they're scared or they feel that certain obstacles can't be overcome. Do you agree with that?
Well, you know, I work mostly with adults at Catholic Charities Community Services, but I think that Ronan's parents and my parents would be right on the same page. Mm-hmm. I grew up with a sister who has developmental disabilities, and I didn't know any other way but normalcy. And the parents are definitely the advocates in all of this. And as those parents from years ago had to be the pioneers in this business of really making sure that those children received those excellent services when there were none, those are our definite, our mentors. And so I agree with Ronan. If the parents go down, then their families go down.
And Ronan, you've said, you know, your parents, you don't feel when you look back at your early years which you've described again in many places, that your parents, it's not that they abandoned you, that the accepted practice at the time when you were growing up was to sort of, as you put it sort of bluntly, hide them. Mm-hmm. Kids who may have a physical disability. So you don't, I know you don't look back with any sort of frustration about that. Times have changed.
Oh, no.
But tell us a little bit about how differently things were for you as a child and what might have started to change things for you.
Well, oh, yeah. No, there's no question of that. I mean, when I was born in the 60s, and at that time, particularly in Ireland, if there was a child with a physical disability or even mentally challenged, you know, there was not enough education for the public to know what to do. So a lot of them would look for, how I would say it, is places in which to put their children because they didn't know how to do it themselves. But I was blessed with a very determined mother who wanted me to grow up same as everybody else. Now, I spent 3 years when the bones of 3 years in a hospital. I was a twin as well. And my parents never, ever once gave me the sense of abandonment. But when things weren't going the way my mother wanted, she decided to take complete control. And she was like, you would describe her as a Renaissance woman. She decided to find out what were the latest developments in prosthetics and mm-hmm. and orthotics, and then decided, right, we're going to England. So she brought me to London to a hospital called Queen Mary's Hospital, Roehampton. And it was there that I was fitted with prosthetics so as that I would have, you know, artificial limbs that would give me the stature she felt that was right for my age. And then once she got that going, she was determined that I would attend a proper primary school, the same as my siblings, and that I would go to school in short pants so that people, yeah, he's a little different in his limbs and the way he walks. But, you know, she was always the point, let's put it in their face and let them not have the idea of, oh, what's wrong with them? Well, it's very evident what's wrong. And so therefore, she gave me this, she instilled the confidence to kind of drive forward. My father, you know, I grew up in a farming community and I used to work on the farm the same way as Fiona and Tom. So I knew no different. I didn't see difference. Yes, of course, as time went on, you realize there's, you know, there is the element of the challenge of walking, running, and participating. But that, again, didn't stop me because I created ways in which I could do things myself and participate in able-bodied sports. And so, you know, I was blessed with the kind of foresight they both had. But at that time, it was a tough time for parents to deal with children with disability. And also it was a tough time for schools to kind of accept children who are disability because they didn't know how they would integrate into the school, you know. But I was very, you know, I was a very fortunate young kid, you know. I landed in the right family and things worked.
Well, you tell the story of walking through town one day when you were a young boy and a priest asking your mother if you were the weak little fella and your mother's reaction. Yeah. Can you tell that story?
Oh, my God. My mother was determined one day to walk me down to the town, which was about 3/4 of a mile from the house. And when we got to the post office, they were all looking over the counter at seeing, oh, this is the child we haven't seen much of. And, you know, they naturally enough, they were inquisitive, you know, the sheltered child. But anyway, the unfortunate parish priest said, is this the weak one? Well, Mam went mad. She said, none of my children are weak. And she says, you're now seeing the strongest of them. And she was livid. She was livid. And my dad came down, I remember, in the car, and he was upset with her that she, a kind of, in his mind, paraded me. But she said, Ronan will have to understand that this is what public perception can be like. And we will change them. And I guess that's kind of fortitude within her. My father was kind of more soft and felt that, you know, it was a very tough lesson for me. But it was, for me, it was a very valuable lesson. The only part I didn't like was the walk. That was tough. But other than that, people's perceptions of me, God, that never really bothered me. Plus, I was a smashing-looking kid. So, you know, I had a lot going on.
Talking to the remarkable Ronan Tynan, joining us from Ireland. He's coming to Rochester next month. He, of course, is an Irish tenor, a Paralympian, a physician, and a man who's been telling his story of resilience and success around the world. And so Ronan, I kind of just want to probe another aspect of this. I mean, you have a phenomenal sense of humor, obviously. And, you know, another...
You need to.
Well, that's kind of what I want to talk about, because, you know, there's this story you tell, and the first time I heard it, I thought, I don't know, can I laugh at this? You said you were sitting on stage singing, and we're told to sort of just sing and kind of make these gestures, and you're at this performance, and then your right leg fell off into the orchestra pit. It fell off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and I'm going, well, I don't want to laugh at this, but you're making me laugh.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. The audience didn't laugh at this either.
I imagine they were very concerned.
Well, you see, here's the thing. It was a wonderful opportunity to do an operetta called Land of Smiles by Franz Lehár. And I was partnered with, you know, a very strong, well-built soprano. And the problem didn't start at the point you're describing. It started way earlier. Mm-hmm. She was wearing this magnificent golden dress and it had a long train. And in the process of descending down a stairwell, there was an acute bend and she leaned in and I kind of moved her out a bit because I got a little nervous. And my foot was on the train, and as she took about three steps, the train came away, and as I say, behold, I saw a vision. And this is, what can you do? But she was supposed to come over stage right in front of the orchestral pit, and I was to sing the love aria. So I went over there on my own and looked back, and there was no sign of her coming over, which is fine. And in the process of singing, the producer had said, you know, to get physical and demonstrative of your passion. So, seemingly, I turned to the right to look at her, and I kicked out, and the leg fell into the pit. Now, this is a different kind of operetta that most people would have seen. So, instead of being singing a high note, I dropped a leg. And I will not forget it, because the poor old cellist got a heart attack, you know, and I just looked down at him. And do you know those unearthly silences when nobody says anything? And you have 2,500 people looking at you thinking, Sacred Heart of God, what just did happen? And you're looking down the cellist saying, can you hand me up my leg? Just hand me up my leg. And he handed it back, handshaking. You'd swear I had leprosy. So I had to put the whole thing back on and went stage right behind the curtain, got it all sorted. And the producer was crying her eyes out. And she said, how much more of you can fall apart? Well, you know, you have to accept the good with the bad. And the thing is, in life, you're presented with all sorts of challenges, some of which you don't make yourself, but unfortunately involve you. And you have to adapt straight away, not to crumble, and just say, yeah, look, it's who I am, it's part of me, let's keep going, the show has to stay going, and you move on. Of course, that lady never performed with me ever again.
But before I turn to our guests,
the thing is,
I don't.
You have to be able to laugh at yourself.
That's what I wanted to kind of probe just a little bit more, because before I turn to our guests in studio, you know, I think for good reason, we have learned more about the way we communicate. We've learned more about the language we use. I think we're very sensitive. In fact, our outstanding health reporter, Brett Dahlberg, was just sort of advising the newsroom on some new ideas about the way we talk about disability, which is essentially asking questions about what people are comfortable with and letting them kind of set the standard. You seem quite comfortable and at ease with yourself, and I wonder if you advise others to try to follow that lead, or is it more of a case of just sort of trying to understand?
Absolutely. Yeah. Lucas, I think it's very important that you have to accept who you are. That's the first thing. Look, everybody in life would like to change something about themselves, whatever it is, whatever appearance or whatever way they move, whatever way they look. But before you do any of that, you have to accept who you are. Because if the first change is acceptance, and I was lucky to have the opportunity to come into a family that didn't look at me any other way other than the way I was. So to me, that acceptance came very early. And I often say to people, look, before you can make any change to yourself, you have to accept yourself. And if you accept who you are, the way you look, whatever appearance it is or however you walk, if you can do that wholeheartedly, then you can make any change you want. But the first thing is acceptance. Mm. And, you know, it's very easy for me to now kind of pontificate and say, well, this is how I do it. But the bottom line, we have to instill in young people that there is no there's no difference in them other than they're made a little differently. But that they're human, they have the same emotions, and particularly in a physical disability, it is kernel to allow the expression of whatever it is that the young kid needs to do. Allow the expression, allow them find out who they are, allow them make mistakes. Allow people make mistakes, because they're the greatest way in which we can learn how to have success. By having mistakes, and we all make them, you know. So it's the building of a life is from the foundation. It's like a house. If the foundation is put together right, the house will be strong. If the foundation is rocky, that leads to problems. Now, not everybody is blessed with the start, and the thing is, we have to come in and somehow encourage people to be able to accept who they are. And I think that's a lot of the battle. Once the acceptance falls into place and they realize, this is who I am, this is me. And then once you do that, and that they feel confident that irrespective of how they look, how they appear, what the disability is, but if they can accept that, that's a huge start in life.
Beautiful sentiment from Ronan Tynan, our guest for the hour, an Irish tenor, of course, a Paralympian, too, an award-winning a physician. And Lori Van Auken and Kathy Termine are here from Catholic Charities Community Services, who are going to be hosting Ronan next month. Beautiful sentiments. You want to add to that, Lori?
Well, as I listen to you, Ronan, I think, my goodness, what a fabulous choice you are, and how happy we are to be having you here in Rochester.
Thanks, Lori.
Well, because, you know, we work with folks who have developmental disabilities, people who are living with significant health challenges, chronic illnesses, HIV, traumatic brain injuries. And our philosophy is about creating that foundation for them. It's about walking with someone on their journey and helping them achieve success however they define it. And your remarks just exude exactly what we do passionately each and every day. And if you were here, I would give you a giant hug.
Yeah, but don't underestimate, Lori, what you do, because what you do is phenomenal. And you said, right, you walk with them. And the most important thing, right, you won't wear their shoes.
Right.
You can't wear their shoes because they're their shoes.
That's right.
But you, as I said, can support them and go with them along the journey. You know, Laurie, I don't know if you know a lady called Laurie Kennedy. Mm-hmm. She was in Rochester. And I wrote a song in 2003 for the Special Olympics. And I remember going up to Rochester and seeing, and I had a temperature of 103 degrees. I was as sick as a dog. But let me tell you, when I walked into those kids, they embraced me and they were so excited. They filled me with the joy of life. And that's what is really something that, you know, our listeners need to understand, that with developmental disability, you know, sometimes you can stand back and you realize this is unconditional love. There's no judgment. They accept themselves as themselves. They are thrilled with any opportunity to perform or do something, and the elation that they give pours out so much that you have to be filled with that kind of joy. That they can, even if you're as sick as a dog, they put a smile on your face and you think, yeah, this was worth every second.
Oh my goodness.
Norm, go ahead.
You know, Ronan, your story, you're exactly why we're so thrilled that Sesame Street has added its first autism on the autism spectrum Muppet, and that's Julia. And makes such a huge difference when you have someone that kids can relate to. We brought Julia in for a reception at the Golisano Autism Center just really a few weeks ago, and to have the hundreds of children and their parents, it kind of brought tears to my eyes. Mm-hmm. So thank you, because you're really kind of justifying and really putting a stamp of approval on everything that we're doing with our Move to Include initiative, you know, which is to really, have people understand disabilities and be more inclusive. And by the way, I don't know if you know this.
And it's not easy. It's
not
easy.
No, it's not.
This.
But you know,
what you're doing is tough.
Well, it's actually one of the things that our people are the most proud of. We say it's in our DNA now, that we always look for the stories about disabilities, and you know, we want people to be inclusive. And you know what? It's smart, because 20% of the population identifies as having a disability, which means really in the U.S., people with disabilities are the largest minority group in this country. And that's a statistic that when I speak, people are always say, I had no idea.
Yeah, I think an important and powerful point there to kind of just put a little cap on our first half hour. We're going to get the very, very, very short break. We're going to come back and talk more about why Norm Silverstein's joining us in studio. We've pulled him out of his offices because WXXI is honored to accept an award coming up here from Catholic Charities Community Services. Royce Rogers is here. We're going to talk about Royce and his remarkable family as well, accepting an award. And Ronan Tynan's on the line with us. Lori and Kathy are here from Catholic Charities Community Services. So we'll remind you how you can meet and see Ronan next month after our only break, and we're going to talk more about the people that you're honoring and the organizations you're honoring on the other side of this break. Coming up in our second hour, Governor Cuomo wants changes to how Medicaid works in New York State. He's concerned about increasing average annual costs, and he wants a more efficient system. Now, critics like the New York Times editorial board are concerned that this will just mean shifting costs to local governments, who will then raise taxes, along with cuts in services. The governor says something has to change, and we're going to talk about some of the proposals next hour. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Very briefly, Lori Van Auken from Catholic Charities Community Services. Remind our listeners why Ronan Tynan, the great Irish tenor, is on the line with us from Ireland this hour. He's coming here next month. What are the events you want people to know about?
He is indeed. So we have two big fundraising events featuring Ronan Tynan. First, March 12th in the evening, he will be performing at Hochstein at 7 p.m. So come join us. Listen to his amazing voice. And then March 13th, our annual Breakfast with Friends event, Ronan will be featured and will be sharing his story, his very inspirational stories of living with all kinds of abilities. And we also have two wonderful awards we'll be giving out, Royce Rogers will be accepting the Heart and Soul Award, and WXXI and the Golisano Foundation's partnership Move to Include.
And by the way, Norm, that partnership has now been one that is years in the making. And now, having worked for a number of different broadcast outlets and journalism organizations over the years, as you have, it's not that there's a temptation, but you could just sort of check a box, do one or two stories a year, et cetera. This is a real devotion in this building to this kind of work that I think is authentic.
Yeah, it's amazing how many people we've been able to reach over the years. You know, this goes way back to our work on Dialogue on Disability with the Al Siegel Center, and it goes back to Dan Myers, who, of course, was a great advocate for people with disabilities in this community. And you are absolutely right, Evan, that this is something that people have come up to me who work here and say, this is the kind of organization I want to work for because we do this kind of work. And to work with the Golisano Foundation, they're so committed to to this project, so committed to people with disabilities. It does make all of us proud. And, you know, we look forward to expanding this in the near future. We have a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting to work with five other stations across the country to do a pilot to see if what we do here in Rochester on Move to Include can become a national initiative. And we're pretty sure it will over the next year. So a lot going on here and, you know, really honored to be receiving this award with the Golisano Foundation, especially with Ann Costello, who's the director of the foundation and who really has been our champion and helping us make all of this possible.
And the award that Norm is talking about, the Community Champion Award presented to WXXI and the Golisano Foundation, that's going to be next month. Also next month, an award going to Royce Rogers, who's the brother of Alice Rogers, one of the first residents of Catholic Charities Community Services. He's going to accept the Heart and Soul Award from Catholic Charities Community Services on behalf of this family. Royce is with us in studio. Tell us about Alice.
Okay, I want to go back to what Ronan was saying about the emotions involved here. When my sister, who was born in 1941, was 8 years old, my parents began to become aware of the fact that she was different. Her cognitive abilities were delayed, and they sought professional help through doctors and psychologists in terms of how can we deal with this. And the convention of the time was the advice that you place them in an institution. Mm-hmm. And Alice was, when she was 8 years old, placed in Newark State School for people with disabilities, cognitive disability, in case of my sister. It was a difficult choice. It was an emotional choice. I still feel it today, and I was 6 years old at the time. And we visited Alice when we could. We lived in Elmira. It was a long trip to Newark. When we went there, the situation was overcrowded. She did not get individualized attention. It was awful. And the part that really upset the family the most probably is when we visited and returned her to the school, she would cry. Every time she would cry, and of course, this depressed all of us. She was in the school there, that institution, for over 20 years. Fortunately, the state was forced to make some changes. Willowbrook comes to mind. And so they began looking at homes where people in their own home might be trained to assist these people in their own home. Unfortunately, they weren't adequately trained and it didn't work well for my sister. Then in 1980, my parents became aware of the opening of a Catholic Charities home in Lyons called Gavitt House. And my sister went there, and she did get individualized attention. She was loved for the person she was. It was the best thing that ever happened to her. She became part of a family. Then in 2007, Catholic Charities became aware of and followed through with the need to have a place for their aging population. And they constructed Crawley House on a single level where each of the clients would have their own individualized space, their own room. They could have something to say about the decoration of the room. They could help within the house. My sister makes coffee for everybody. My sister is happy. She's loved. She laughs. She's fun to be around. And it's just been a wonderful experience for our family. She doesn't cry now when we take her back. She's eager to go back and be with her family.
Can you believe it's been 40 years since the relationship?
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing.
What does it mean to your family to receive this award?
I'm thrilled to receive the award, but in reality, we wouldn't be receiving this award if it were not for the love and care that we see taking place for our sister in this Catholic Charities home.
That's beautiful. You want to add to that, Lori?
Well,
go ahead.
I was going to say, Royce, thank you so much for sharing that story. And what Royce didn't share was that the family set up a special fund for our residents to enjoy themselves, sort of a fun fund. Oftentimes, Medicaid dollars don't fund recreation. They don't fund things that foster recreation and creating memories. And so the Rogers family really had the foresight to say, no, we want to do this. We want this for Alice. We want this for her family, the people that she lives with. And Royce has been such a champion for us over the years and has joined us on a variety of shows and talk shows and is always so generous with his time. And the Heart and Soul Award is given every year to somebody who's very close to the agency, who really exudes the mission of inclusion, independence, and that's Royce and his family. So we're thrilled that he's accepting the award on behalf of his family in our very special 40th year from our beginning.
You want to add to that, Kathy?
I'm thrilled that Royce and his family have been able to are going to be receiving this award. And knowing his sister Alice for over 36 years, she is just phenomenal and a joy to be around. And as Royce said, she's gone from, you know, the family crying, leaving her to Alice at times when she's with her brother and sister-in-law saying, okay, I want to go back. It's time to go back, and the joy on her face of seeing that, and she's tremendous. And Royce, your family deserves credit for all of that too.
Well, let me also sort of observe in Kathy's remarks about Alice. You use the word joy and joyful, and you know that conflicts with some of the early experiences in different settings that Royce was describing, but that joyful side of Alice. I'm thinking about Ronan and the stories that he has shared with us over the years. I mean, here's someone who as a boy was told, you'll never walk. Parents probably struggled at the time, as Ronan has described, the sort of the whole world was struggling with change and what to do. But had every right, I think, to sort of hang his head and decide it's not going to work out for me. I'm not going to be an athlete. I'm not going to be able to do what I want to do. Now, he's just about the most joyful person you've heard. And Ronan, it seems to me that with the right approach, and the kind of approaches we've seen change over the decades, really, led by organizations like Catholic Charities Community Service, among many others, that we ought to sort of not settle for life always being a grind, that there should be joy no matter who you are and what your background is.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, look, to listen to that story about Alice was unbelievable. I mean, and the love that, you know, Royce has for his sister and the commitment to following it through and understanding possibly the pain that was there. But we all welcome change, and change takes time. but it's needful. And sometimes to bring about change, there has to be a hero and a heroine. There has to be somebody who leads this fight, and to also give that sense of achievement to young people who are struggling, to give back that joy. I always say to kids, don't let anyone steal your joy. Your joy is everything.
Well,
and it's the same for people. It's the same for people. And, you know, we should always encourage dreaming, you know? Sometimes you can have aspirations that seem way beyond you. But you know what? Have those aspirations. You know, encourage children and offer them different things, different opportunities, whether it's disabled riding, whether it is crafts or whatever, because it'll show itself. I'll tell you a very funny story. Every year, Martinez and I do a special needs program in Boston. And each year, the kids pick their song. They pick the song I'm going to sing. It is a riot. There's about 30 of them. I come on to sing. The kids grab the microphone and start singing the song themselves. And last year, this kid's song, and he was outstanding. And he told the audience, he says, I'm better than he is. And you know what? I said to him, yes, you are. Yes, you are. There is no question. That's a given. And, you know, you always benefit by giving encouragement, because you may not have any idea how it's been received, but the benefits are a thousandfold. And just by giving encouragement, saying, well done, you're awesome, you know, that goes a lot deeper than people realize. You know, people can be flippant, but when it's said with somebody who really, really means it, kids, developmental or physical, they get it. They get the fact that the person that's saying it is genuine. And, you know, Royce took us on a journey there that was unbelievable. But, you know, we're talking, you know, over the years, Alice has achieved so much. And the joy is in her. And she pours that joy out to people who know her and love her. And that's what Catholic Charities have achieved in 40 years. Think of where they've brought all this to now. And that's huge. And it wasn't easy. And that road is paved with a lot of tears. But the moments of success and the nuggets of achievement and standing back and looking at the changes and what has brought is huge. So that is the welcoming element for all of us to look at and say, wow, what an organization. Look what they've done. And they want to do more.
Well, and I'm thinking, Norm Silverstein, of some of the moments that I've been a part of in my time at WXXI, watching, again, that word joy. People like Carol Spinney, the late Carol Spinney, who've been brought in to kind of join us and share that joy and the programming that is inclusive in a way that is sort of without fear and, frankly, with a lot of joy and embracing all aspects of that.
Well, listening to these stories, it just kept reminding me, this is why we do Move to Include. This is why we want to make sure everyone understands the value of inclusion, and that, you know, we agree with what people in the disabled community say, which is nothing about us without us.
Yeah.
And we like to bring people on to be part of the show. And it's really it's, you know, for us it's kind of a bonus. We do a lot of interesting things and important things in public media, but I think Move to Include with our friends at the Golisano Foundation, this is really among the most important thing that we do in this community.
Well, I got a few minutes left with Ronan Tynan, so I got to say, I mean, for a man who was a boy who was told he wouldn't walk, you end up in the Paralympic Games, I think 18 gold medals, and you, from what I've read and seen, you were competing pretty quickly after becoming a double amputee. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's very true. As my father used to say, I won't let the grass grow underneath my feet. and that's exactly that. And, you know, look, Look, I owe everything to the start in life to those two people, you know. And, you know, we've talked a lot about how times have changed and how people have progressed and how, you know, but one of the kernel moments for my life, you know, is I remember graduating as a medical doctor, and my mom was on the periphery of having Alzheimer's. And my dad wasn't in great health. But it was a great moment to share with them, you know, particularly when I walked up and received my degree. And there was a tremendous applause and uproar. But for me, it was a sense of, you made this happen. You know, you made this happen for me. You know, yeah, I had to study and I had to apply myself. But you gave me the ingredients and the utensils to make that happen from a long, long way back. And, you know, there was a little girl in Boston. She has Down syndrome, but she has opened up her own bakery franchise. And it is unbelievable what this little girl has done. No one would give her a job, so she did it herself. And she's hugely successful. And she employs children or adults that have disability. And it's a conglomerate of power. And that's what, you know, that's the beauty of instilling positivity in people. And sometimes it's not easy. But there is always a glimmer of hope, always. Nothing is ever lost. And sometimes we have to search a little harder, a little deeper, and we have to orientate ourselves to put ourselves to understand the environment that others are in and then work with them. Because all the time, people will show you where their strengths are. No matter who or what they are, they will show you their strengths. Just open your eyes and be willing to take it in.
Well, so there's one other question that was on my list that if I had time, I was just going to ask you, because of all of the elements of the Ronan Tynan story, there was one that I went, come on. So here's the part, Ronan, and you can set me straight on this. We may not be having this conversation. We may not know you if you didn't become this worldwide singing sensation. And part of what launched you was, I sort of understand it, it was kind of the Irish version of American Idol. It's a show called Go For It. So you decide you're going to go for it. You're doing medical school, but why not take secret singing lessons and do that on the side? and you're doing really, really well, and you're in the finals. And of course, we all know now that you crushed it.
I know where you're going with
it. You crushed it in the final. It was great. The audience was crying. But you claim that you called your sister and warned her, rehearsals did not go well. This is not going to go well. Come on, man. You had to know that you had it.
Well, now let me correct that story. Okay. Fiona was at the rehearsal.
Oh, okay.
Fiona was at the rehearsal. And she said to my dad, she said, oh, it didn't go as well as he'd like at the rehearsal. And plus, I was ironing my shirt and put a hole in the shirt from a hot iron, so I had to get another shirt. So, you know, it's Murphy's Law. What can go wrong will go wrong. And my dad met me, you know, just before I got on. He said, when the rehearsal goes bad, the performance is amazing. How right he was. How right he was. And, you know, that's the thing. So, look, we're not perfect. We're not all made the same, thank God. And the sooner the better we were able to kind of accept people. I'll leave you with one thing. My grandmother had a great use of language. But when big words came into her phrasing, she said to me, Rue, she said, that word, idiosyncrasy. And I said, yeah, Nan. And she said, that's not the pronunciation of that. The pronunciation of that is idiosyncrasies. People who have mad ideas. And I said, God, Nan, you're dead right. Yeah, full of idiosyncrasies. That's what people are. And then she said, that word vocabulary, she said, that's not the way you pronounce that. And I said, okay, Nan, leave it on me. She said, people talk an awful lot of vocabulary. And I thought, wow. So the thing is, you have to be able to decipher the wood from the tree decipher the idiosyncrasy and work out who's talking an awful lot of vocabulary. And when you do, when people do that, believe me, and Catholic charities know exactly what I'm talking about. People can promise the earth, and it's a load of vocabulary. Action is louder than words.
Ronan, thank you for the time. An honor to talk to you, and we'll see you in Rochester next month.
I'm looking forward to it. All my best, and it was a pleasure listening to all the stories. Royce, you're a champion. Laurie, Norm, gosh, I am so delighted to be part of this wonderful presentation that's going to come up. I hope you'll enjoy me. You love my pianist. He's a wonderful human being. And we'll have a lot of laughs.
We will. I can tell, Ronan, we are so looking forward to having you. Thank you so much for joining us.
And we're going
to
close with some of Ronan's
music. Well, I'm delighted too.
Thank you, Ronan. Ronan Tynan, the great Ronan Tynan, joining us from Ireland. He's in Rochester March 12th and 13th. Check out the Catholic Charities Community Services website for ticket information, cccsrochester.org, if you want information to go see him sing and to honor the awardees. Norm Silverstein, our colleague right here, the boss of the WXXI.
Can't wait
to
see you in Rochester next month, and thanks to Catholic Charities.
Thank you.
And thank you, Royce. Thank you, your family. Lori, Kathy, thank you for being here as well.
Thank you.
Let's listen to Ronan as we close this beautiful hour.
On the fields of Bali, you'll forget the sun in his jealous sky. As we walk in fields of gold.